Welcome back to the second week of The Greatest Gift, because I know that God has something for you. His heart is to show up in a big way. This is the spirit of Christmas. It's a time where the whole world is expecting something good. Even people who are far from Jesus are expecting something. They play happy music. They're looking for hopeful things. And my prayer for you that you can recognize that the gift that God has for you is life. And that you can know Him, and that you can live a life that's fulfilled. You know, last week we were talking about, the making of a miracle. This week's a miracle in the making. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph. We're going to look at Joseph's predicament, because last week we looked at Mary. We'll look at her as well this time. But Joseph was in a unique situation because the angel appeared to Mary and said, "Hey, you're favored. God's with you. Don't be afraid. You're going to have a baby." And her response is, "What are you talking about? Like, I'm a virgin. How can that happen?" And then the angel tells her, "Nothing's impossible with God." And she believed that. The end. And now we have Joseph. And this is an interesting dynamic because he's engaged to Mary. And in the culture in which they lived, if she was pregnant, pretty obvious how that happened. And now he has a target on him as well, because in that context, the penalty for fornication or adultery was death. And so he's got to figure out what to do. And here's what I want us to get. We're going to look at Mary first, that a miracle in the making will always first take you out of your comfort zone. It's like God does something to freak us out in a way. It's not really freaking us out. That's not his heart or his goal. But when God moves, it's often very contrary to how we think he should or what we think should happen. Like, God has done things in my life and in my wife's life. Like, we're like, why? Like, we don't understand. And even sometimes on the other side of the miracle, we don't always understand, but we know this. What we've walked through becomes the place of ministry that God's called us to. You know, the fact that my wife was 4 years of no driving because she was having grand mal seizures, that was painful. And there were many times of going, "God, please heal. What's the deal? This has been like 4 years." And finally he did. He showed up and she's driving again. And it's been 2 months that she's been driving and seizure free. And it's awesome and amazing. And I don't know what is to come in the future, but I know this, that God takes all of those things that we don't understand, all of our past pain, all of our current confusion. And if we give it to him, he turns it around, and in the long run, he'll use it for good. But here's what you got to know about a miracle that you're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of the making of a miracle. Number one, it was going to take you out of your comfort zone. Listen, here's the thing. God wants to use you to do something, both in you and in the world around you. What a picture of Mary and Joseph, that God wanted to do something in them, but he wanted to use what was in them to be a blessing to the whole world. The same is true as for you and for me. If we go back to Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham, the same thing. God wanted to use Abraham, do something in him, faith rise up, even though it was uncomfortable, he didn't understand it, go to a new country, go somewhere else, but God wanted to be a blessing in him so that he could be a blessing through him. Noah, the same thing. Esther, Rahab, I can go on and on. But here's what I want us to get, is that when we are in a place where there seems like this wedge that gets stuck in our soul and we feel like this isn't, how can this be, like what's going on? Oftentimes it is the Lord, and we are in the making, in the middle of a miracle, we just haven't seen it yet. See, the miracle wasn't the divine intervention with this angel that appears to Mary and says, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." That's not the miracle. The miracle is what God was going to do through his son, through Jesus on the cross, where he paid the price for our sin and then rose again to show us that we have new life in him. That was the miracle. But it begins way over here with Mary and Joseph being way outside of their comfort zone. And she even says, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." It tells us she's confused and disturbed. Because that's what happens in the middle of a miracle. In the middle of a miracle. Matthew 1, 18 and 19 says this. It talks about Joseph. "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable, because now Mary tells Joseph, I'm pregnant, but it was God. Wait, what? Excuse me, you're telling me you're pregnant, but it was God. Uh-huh. Look at what Joseph decides to do. He's pondering this. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, because this was a disgraceful thing. This could be a deadly thing. Mary's pregnant, and she tells Joseph, an angel told me, and like, I'm still a virgin, but like, I'm pregnant. And I'm sure Joseph is thinking, is she crazy? This is uncomfortable. He didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Here's the thing. In the middle of a miracle, in that making of a miracle, you're going to come to a crossroad. And the crossroad is this. Do I quit or do I continue? Do I continue to walk down the road that God has me down? Do I continue to follow His leading? Do I continue or do I quit because it is so crazy? And this is what's interesting. In verse 19, Joseph didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. But in verse 20, the very next verse, this is what it says. As he considered this, he decided, but he's still considering. Have you ever been in that place? That's the place of, what do I do? Lord, is this really you? This is crazy. Like, what do I do? Lord, what do I do? I've decided to break it off, but as he considered, but I'm still considering. Have you ever found yourself in that place of, I don't know what to do? Look at what happens. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. It's interesting that God first sent Gabriel to a very young teenage girl and told her, you're favored. You're going to become pregnant, and you're going to have a son. His name is Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. In that time, a teenage girl was the lowest of all in society. A young girl, maybe a child, was less important. And yet he chose the least to bring in the greatest gift ever. And now he speaks the same thing to Joseph. What can we learn from this? That in the middle of a miracle, you will be outside of your comfort zone, but God will still speak to you and confirm what He is calling you to do. Don't quit too soon. Don't quit too soon. That's the first thing that you can learn. It's going to be outside of your comfort zone. Don't quit too soon just because you're uncomfortable. So many people walk away from situations where they are uncomfortable. I understand that. I can be the life of the party, but the truth be told, it's very easy for me to also be the hermit. And there have been many, many times when I see social situations and I go, I think I'm just going to walk the other way. You know, my wife is very quiet and reserved, but boy, she loves large groups of people and being around. She's so comfortable in that. And for me, that's always, even though I'm good at it, like I'm like, I don't know. And I can easily walk away because I feel uncomfortable. And I've had to learn to walk slowly and quietly through the room in spite of my discomfort, because I know it's what God's called me to. And here's the funny thing. When you do that, God begins to show up. And it doesn't just become comfortable. It becomes second nature. You're in the middle of a miracle. Don't quit because it's uncomfortable. That's the first thing. It'll take you out of your comfort zone. Keep going. Don't quit just yet. Hear from the Lord. Don't quit until you've heard from the Lord giving you direction. A lot of people come to a place and there's an opportunity. They can go this way or that way, and they're operating on what the Lord told them last, and they're like, what do I do? If he doesn't speak again, just keep going on the course that he's called you on. But let me just tell you, God's going to confirm or deny what it is he's calling you to. Don't quit. Don't step aside because you're uncomfortable. Here's the second thing you need to know in the middle of a miracle. That it is bigger than you. Every miracle of God is way bigger than you. In fact, I'm convinced that most miracles are not even about you. Even though they may directly and very intimately impact you, most miracles are not even about you because God wants to work through you. Matthew 1, 22 and 23 says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Not just God is with you. If you think that the miracle is so that you can know that God is with you, that's the smallest part of a miracle. It's so that other people can see that God is with them too. This is the miracle. It's bigger than you. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Because the miracle is big. But if you're going to keep going through it, knowing that it's not about you, you need to hear the voice of the Lord. How does that happen? Three simple things. Number one, the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's Philippians 4, 6 through 8 that says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just as Mary was at the place saying, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Joseph was at the place of like, do I put her away? Like just to send her out into the country so nobody will know she's pregnant, so that she's not disgraced, that we're not in trouble. Like there's these questionings. Questions are good, but seek the answer. And when you ask God, Lord, what should I do? There's a peace from the Holy Spirit. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray hard, that supplication. I'm really praying. Lord, thank you that I know that you're good. I'm going to lean on your promises. I'm going to embrace them. I'm going to walk them out. I know my timing isn't yours, but I know that I can trust you. Speak to me. I know you will. And then follow the peace, that witness of the Holy Spirit. You follow that peace. The second thing is the word of God. Like, when God is speaking something big to me, I got to have a word to rest on. Like, I'm going to Scripture. What is the Lord showing me? Let me just tell you, in me moving to Lake Charles, that was the most uncomfortable I think I'd ever been. Because I had literally told the Lord, God, I'll go to Asia, Africa, Europe. It doesn't matter. You can send me anywhere. Just don't ever send me to Lake Charles. Because I grew up, you know, 45 minutes away out in the country, north of Jennings. And I didn't like Lake Charles. All my family was from Lafayette. I didn't like Lake Charles. I thought it was nasty because of all the plants. And I said, Lord, send me anywhere, halfway joking, but don't send me to Lake Charles. Guess what he did? He took me out of my comfort zone. But it was an opportunity to trust him. And I had to pray big time on that. Lord, are you sure? Lord, is this exactly what you want? Are you confident? But I needed a word from the Lord. And I started to have peace as I began to set my heart, my mind, my thoughts on like moving to Lake Charles, planning a church. There was a peace I can't even describe. Then I took it a step further. I was like, Lord, I need something out of your word. And he so highlighted Isaiah 58:12 that talks about those from among you rebuilding the ancient ruins and raising up the age-old foundation, become a restorer of the streets for people to dwell in, that it just resonated with me. And it was the verse that was confirmation. That first was the peace. That second was the confirmation from the word of God that I was hearing the voice of the Lord. But here's the third thing. It was the wisdom of godly counsel. You should listen to the wisdom of the godly people that he's placed in your life. See, there's a problem with this, though, because a lot of people don't have godly people around them. You have to be intentional in bringing godly people around you when you're not in crisis, so that when you are, you have people to lean upon. Because what godly counsel does, it's gonna help guide you and direct you. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said, in an abundance of counselors, there's victory. Do you have peace from the Lord? Do you have a word from the Lord? And do you have confirmation and godly wisdom from godly people around you? Do you have counsel there? Do you have a wisdom from them? And then here's the third thing that you need to know in the middle of a miracle. The miracle is activated by faith. By faith. What are the two common denominators in what the angel told Mary and Joseph? He tells Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what he says. Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. Because she's probably thinking to herself, I'm just a 14-year-old kid, 15, 16, however old she was young. I'm just a teenager. Like, what can you do through me? And the angel says, don't be afraid, Mary. You have favor with God. In other words, God's going to use you. God's going to bless you if you trust him. But you can't allow fear to creep in that you're not enough, that you can't be used, that you can't do this. That is a killer for all miracles, because faith is what activates them. Like, God uses people who trust him. That's all faith is, trusting God. For Joseph, the angel looks at Joseph and says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why would he tell him that? Because that was the crux of everything. Do I marry this woman who says she's pregnant and it's from God? But this angel supernaturally shows up and speaks to him and says, don't be afraid. The same thing he told Mary, don't be afraid, because the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. And what brings a miracle into his own is not the fact that you believe, it's the fact that you align with the truth of what God is speaking, and you get to be a bystander in the miracle that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't stepped out in faith. This isn't about you. It's about you aligning with truth. That is what faith is. I've heard people say, well, they just didn't have enough faith for whatever. And I'm like, man, you're messed up. That's a judgmental, messed up way to look at people. But let me tell you, when you align with the truth of God, the miraculous happens. Seldom does it happen in the way that you think. Reminder, death isn't failure or final. Neither is sickness. Neither is losing a job. All of those, when we trust God through everything, it is our faith that brings us into the place where God operates in a supernatural capacity. That miracle isn't about us. If we make the miracle about us, that's not a miracle. That's called attempted manipulation. And we should stop that. Listen, in the middle of a miracle, you will find yourself outside of a comfort zone. You have to know it's bigger than you. But you have to operate in faith. Faith isn't some impractical feeling or some declaration of stupidity that is like, and I'm going to have, and you claim what you want. It is you aligning with the truth of God's word to you that's been confirmed, the peace of the Holy Spirit. It's been confirmed with scripture, and it's been affirmed with godly people in your life. Verse 38 of Luke 1, Mary's response, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. She understood the place that she had in the miracle, being a servant of the Lord and simply heeding his voice and obeying his word. The same is true for us. Matthew 1, 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. Because faith has two parts. It's not just us speaking words that align with what God's spoken. The greater part is us doing what God's spoken. When our words match up with what we do, the power of God is released in our life, really through our life, and we get to be a part of something spectacular. Faith, and I'm just going to read what I wrote. Faith overcomes fear about people's perception. If you really have faith, you're not going to be too concerned about what other people think. If you really have faith, you're not going to be concerned about your own personal security. Am I going to be okay? Like that? If God's with you, you're going to be just fine. And faith overcomes fear about physical possessions. God's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drive, how you're going to get around, how you're going to pay the bills. When you trust the Lord, you follow him, and you do your part in acting in faith and stepping out and doing what he's called you to, he takes care of you. Because faith focuses on the promises of God more than the potential for disaster. There's always potential for disaster. You could get in your vehicle today and there's a potential for disaster. Do you focus on that? No. Probably not. Hopefully not. Don't do it in your Christian walk. Because faith is the place that brings about the miracle of God, that brings hope to us and to the world around us. So, Father, I just pray right now that we can understand that when you are at work, it may be uncomfortable, but Lord, you want to do something way bigger than us. Father, I just pray that you just give us faith, that we can trust you and your word, that your peace surrounds us. Lord, that we can listen to your voice, heed the voice of the wise, godly people that you put in our life. But Father, we know that you will use us to do something big in the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. May you receive the gift of hope and life this season. Love you. And listen, if God's doing something in you, let us know. Click on that link in the chat beneath this message. Let us know. Connect with us. Man, I want to see you grow in your walk with Christ so that you can live a life that is truly miraculous. Well, see you guys later. God bless.